ABC News.
Now that COVID-19 vaccines are set to be rolled out in Australia, the next question is, will people actually step up to get vaccinated? There's been large amounts of misinformation around COVID-19 vaccines, leading the Director General of the World Health Organization to declare we're not just fighting an epidemic, we're fighting an infodemic. Well, Tom Eckner is a senior lecturer at the University of Queensland's Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences, researching how we improve vaccination rates, and he joins us now. So what's your sense as to how wary people are of getting the COVID-19 vaccine?
I think in reality, people probably are not actually as worried as we're making it out to be. Though the infodemic is a concern, I don't think we want to make vaccine refusal or vaccine hesitancy in Australia seem more popular than it actually is, but there are rumors and there are some hesitancies out there regarding the new vaccines.
How well do you think the messaging around the COVID-19 vaccines has been managed so far?
I'm not entirely sure because I haven't quite seen all of the Australian media go out regarding the COVID vaccines. But as far as the leading institutions in Australia, they've been doing a very good job of informing people about the upcoming vaccines, what's involved in the vaccines, the safety and efficacy of the vaccine. So I think overall, the messaging from the credible institutions in Australia has been quite good. And I'm just waiting to see some of the future messaging that's going to come out of the government advertising campaigns.
So there seems to be quite a lot of conspiracy theories about COVID-19 and the vaccines for it. Why is it so hard to counter these myths?
That's a really good question, and it's a tough question to answer, but conspiracy theories tend to be much more persuasive than we often give them credit for, but it seems that conspiracy theories often tap into cognitive proclivities that we have, psychological propensities that we have to always kind of see agency in the world around us. So when we don't understand why something is happening and there's not a real clear explanation as to why something's happened, we often look for agency. We look for, there must be a bad actor behind why something bad has happened or why something as bad has happened in the world around us. And so that we have this tendency just to appeal to other people or other actors to explain why things are happening around us. And with the pandemic, you know, it came on so quickly, it had such a significant effect on the world around us that people have been looking for answers and looking for explanations as to why this is happening. And conspiracy theories kind of fill the void when there's a lack of explanation. They provide a lot of information when there's not a lot of information coming. And conspiracy theories in the pandemic have just been rampant.
So this kind of plays into what I want to ask now. So you've written that simply communicating scientific fact may not be enough to convince hesitant audiences when it comes to vaccines. Why do you think that is?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's another reality that a lot of academics get depressed about, because we like to teach facts, and we're hopeful that if we teach people facts, it changes people's minds. But what we've found in quite a few years of research is that people don't make decisions about science and about vaccines based just on facts. And in fact, people's knowledge about vaccines is not actually a good predictor of people's actions around vaccines. So some people who are opposed to vaccines actually have done a lot of research into the theory and the science behind vaccines, but they're still opposed to it. So people often make decisions not just based on the facts, they make decisions based on their worldviews, their values, and really based on the social connections that they have. So people's views about vaccines tends to be very socially linked. So if everyone that you know in your local community or perhaps even in your online community is opposed to vaccines, that's going to be much more predictive of your views on vaccines and even perhaps your actions towards vaccines than your knowledge and about the facts of vaccination.
Liberal MP Craig Kelly's caused some controversy recently, posting things on social media that aren't supported by medical authorities. How much impact can people in positions of power have?
Well, you know, there's some debate as to what impact social media posts can have, but likely it's very problematic. When we have opinion leaders and we have politicians, there's a following there. People have voted them in for a reason. They have followers that have voted these people into their positions of power. And when those people who are influencers, like government MPs, post false information or misleading information or misinformation about vaccines and about the COVID pandemic and other science, it can have an impact. It can reach those people who follow those influencers. And as I've said before, if there's anything that the U.S. Capitol riots have demonstrated, is that if someone who is an influencer is constantly giving out and broadcasting misinformation, that can have dangerous repercussions when people pick that up and accept it to be true.
So does this kind of misinformation pop up more in certain communities? Is that an important part of how we target information?
Yeah, it does seem that misinformation can be picked up more in certain communities. So certain communities and demographics and different groups of people who might be more inclined to believe the certain misinformation, mainly because maybe their worldview is opposed to the information that's coming. So if people are opposed to vaccines to start with, the misinformation is going to thrive in the community groups and online groups that this misinformation that are more open or susceptible to that misinformation in the first place. So the key there is that in broad strokes, if you're trying to improve people's confidence in vaccines, you really need to be addressing those specific communities that are the most hesitant or most skeptical about vaccines. And any communication about vaccines is going to be more effective if you're targeting it and tailoring it to specific communities. So if there are groups of people or age groups that are more likely to be skeptical of government or skeptical of pharmaceuticals, you need to tailor your vaccination communications to reach those people and answer their questions and really meet their needs regarding what they're interested in and what they're maybe fearful of when it comes to the vaccines.
Tom Eckner, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
That was Tom Eckner, a senior lecturer at the University of Queensland's Faculty of Humanities and Social Sciences.